Hey, you want that to go?
Lots of news takeouts to be on top of this week, and we've got our regular contingent of folks at the counter this morning. Louise Story from our partner, the New York Times, finance reporter Todd Zwillig is with us down in Washington, and Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen has all the sports for you this morning. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Todd,
morning.
Let's begin with you. So the president outlines his military strategy at West Point last night, but in the details, we've also got his financial strategy for this war, and this is, unlike his predecessor, a pay-as-you-go war effort, or a pay-as-you-go surge. Explain what that means about Congress overseeing and holding the purse strings on this war and as the debate goes forward.
Well, that's right, John. One of the things the president said last night was that the days of a blank check for the Afghan government are over. And really, the same is true for the United States government. There's a growing consensus around Congress that we're going to have to pay for this surge and pay for this buildup. No more piling the wars onto the deficit the way we did in Iraq and the way, frankly, we've done in Afghanistan up until now. So we've talked a lot about the idea of a war tax, a war surtax, a 1% on income earners, and maybe scale it up for richer people. Of course, Republicans, as you can imagine, hate the idea of increasing taxes to pay for the war. So there are some other ideas floating around now that the president is out of the gates. Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, right, sort of has a politically charged suggestion. He says the stimulus has failed to create jobs. Why not take the stimulus money and just divert it to the war? That's one suggestion. I don't know if the president will go for that. Biden certainly won't go for it. There's another suggestion that why don't we take extra spending, you know, increases in non-defense spending, right, from last year to this year, just shave off the difference. You pay for the war. It's about $60 billion in spending on programs, so just pay for the war with that.
So you mean pay for the war with unmet, unspent funds from last year?
Just with increased spending from last year to this year on things highways,
right,
just take whatever other spending we had on other programs, divert it to the war.
The general increase. Any other bright ideas?
Yeah, there's one other bright idea from way back in World War II. Listen to Ben Nelson from Nebraska. He's got an idea.
We had bonds, war bonds, and people invested in their country in that fashion. It made a lot of sense back then. I don't know why it might not make sense today, certainly in lieu of jumping to tax.
We would buy war bonds at what interest rate? We should ask Louise Story about that. An investment vehicle from the government? Any consensus there?
Undefined. It was a new idea yesterday that started bouncing around the Senate, so senators were hearing about it for the first time from the press, so we'll see where it goes.
Reporting on the pay-as-you-go war there from Capitol Hill, Todd Zwillig, thanks so much.
Well, I know that Louise Story will tell you that the states, the 50 states in the United States, do not have the money to be investing in pretty much anything right now. Louise, you're talking about New Jersey. There's a new governor in New Jersey. Corzine is out, and the new governor does not like the way that Corzine was spending, and he's deciding he's not going to get into any new debt. How does that work?
So he really ran on a pledge to be more fiscally responsible. He accused Corzine of loading up debt. And then actually we had a report come out this week from New Jersey that showed that Corzine was planning for more bonds to be issued for New Jersey. And if you think about this, New Jersey already has $34 billion in outstanding bonds, which is bigger than a $29 billion budget. Problem is that states have their revenues going down. It's not just, right, New Jersey. The Treasury Department said last week that state revenues from taxes were down almost 12% in October.
So across the board.
Across the board. Every state out there, for the most part, is hurting in some area, whether it be sales tax, whether it be income or business taxes. So it's going to be hard choices for people leading these states, whether to take on more debt or to cut services.
And these states are competing with huge federal debt offers.
That's
as
right.
Well as corporate debt offers. So it's a difficult time even to issue bonds.
Not to mention that the credit markets, you know, the banking system that helps them issue debt, is a lot tougher than it was a few years ago.
Absolutely, and it's hard for them to get credit. So what has he said what he's going to do to meet his budgetary restrictions now that he's not going to take on any more debt?
He's taking a very tough line. He said, this new governor of New Jersey yesterday said, we live in a new world. He said it's not going to be pretty, but he said they are going to make cuts and programs. He says he's not going to raise taxes. They are just going to cut programs. So this will likely affect school programs, possibly transportation improvements, but that's the trade-off. Do you take on more debt? Do you cut services? It's something everyone out there is facing.
Absolutely. That's Louise Story for the New York Times.
Not pretty in New Jersey. It's pretty in western New Jersey, actually. Not so much. So, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, would you buy a war bond or a New Jersey bond?
It's a great question.
It's a great question. Think about that. Think about that while we realize that the whole Tiger Woods controversy is over, right? Listen.
The Florida Highway Patrol has concluded its investigation of the vehicle crash involving Mr. Tiger Woods. The investigation has determined that Mr. Woods is at fault in the crash.
Careless driving, $164 fine. You can probably cover it. Is it over now?
Well, the problem is that it's not over because Tiger Woods is the most recognizable face in golf. So some people think, is this good for golf that it's getting so much attention in a time when golf doesn't get as much attention? This is the wrong kind of attention that golf could get, because what's surfacing now are salacious rumors all throughout the internet and throughout the sort of the blogosphere and just in mainstream media about his extramarital affairs. And so that's
alleged
extramarital affairs.
I mean, what is this? Is this opportunism because you're sort of hooking on to the Tiger Woods ship and getting attention that way? Or is there any way to confirm and make real any of these allegations?
Some of the allegations are pretty close to being real, and there's going to be some stuff that's going to come out today and in the coming days that are going to be very damning to Tiger Woods' image. But I still think it brings up the question again, is this sort of the fidelity of high-profile people, is that much of, should that be in the public sphere as much, especially since Tiger is not an elected official? He's not someone that has the public's confidence in the same way.
And it doesn't affect his game.
Precisely. Well, we'll find out. Exactly.
That's actually maybe the big story. Yeah. That's the takeaway. Will this affect his game? Well, will it affect his endorsements?
It already has affected his game because he had to pull out of the tournament. So that, I think from that perspective, that's why it's a story.
Well, Ibrahim Abdelmateen, Takeaway Sports Contributor, thanks so much. Thanks to Louise. Thanks to Todd.
Thank you.
Subsidies for the COBRA program soon to expire. That could affect 7 million people whose premiums, if they want to hold on to their health insurance, could triple. We're going to talk about the effects of that in just a few minutes.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.